Hi, this is Tony from UK Economist, Sunisha Pakarisamy, the economist at Momentum Investments. Sunisha, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Sunisha, we're talking about the recent cabinet appointments and reshuffling and so on. And obviously there were quite a few positives, etc., especially the fact that the number of ministries were reduced from 36 to 28. But you were quite gave us a few bits of commentary on that from an economic perspective and so on. So we could start off maybe just telling us a little bit about what do you think were the highlights from the cabinet moves?
Sure, Tony. Well, overall, in a nutshell, we do think that the cabinet reconfiguration was broadly positive for the market. There were some disappointments within the appointments in cabinet, and that really speaks to the increased factionalism within the ruling party, the African National Congress, or the ANC. And that really speaks to the fact that we are still walking quite a tight line in terms of appeasing both factions, and at the same time, we still have to further economic reforms. Now, what was quite positive is that, yes, there were seven government departments that were collapsed or merged into larger departments. However, in order to man some of these departments, they took on two deputy ministers in some cases. So as a result, we still have quite a large number of cabinet members. It's about 64, previously at 72. And I think what the market was looking for in terms of the reconfiguration was to see the number of ministers go down in order to have less money coming out of the fiscus in order to support that. So I think that was a slight disappointment on that front. But what we generally look for are five key ministries, in our view, need to have very good appointments in order to spur on economic reform, and we have seen some good appointments in that regard.
So, Sunisha, you mentioned something about a number of labor appointments. Obviously, in South Africa, labor is quite active, and it's very important how it's managed and what the relationships are. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, we know that the relationship in the tripartite alliance has crumbled in recent years, and I think this was maybe an attempt to get Labour as well as the Communist Party a little bit closer to the ruling party. So there were a number of appointments in line with the Communist Party as well as Labour. In our view, it could be a little bit to the detriment of when we're trying to accomplish things like reducing the government wage bill. If we think about Eskom's problems and how we can reduce the debt issue at Eskom, one of the reasons put forward or suggestions put forward for Eskom is to also reduce the wage bill at that state-owned entity. And if we have a lot of labor appointments, it could be a bit tricky to pass certain regulations that would cause a number of these employees to be canned from these institutions. So I think by making labor more influential in cabinet, it could actually affect what we call a pro-growth stance because there would be a fight back from labor to not cull workers in this space.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's something, definitely something to watch. Maybe a little bit of an outside question, but also related to the politics. The latest commentary on the South African Reserve Bank, are you guys watching that, and do you have any specific worries about the current rhetoric there?
We still think that the rhetoric around the Reserve Bank is a little bit of a red herring in terms of the independence of the South African Reserve Bank. Remember that they do have a dual mandate in terms of looking at price stability in the interest of growth, but they also look at financial stability. We believe that the members of the Monetary Policy Committee are all independent, and from that aspect, we're not too worried about the independence of monetary policy. I think what has come out in the recent couple of days is, again, it speaks to that increased factionalism within the ruling party, and we have had a number of ANC members coming out strongly suggesting that they cannot change what was put forward at the national conference, and we need another national conference in order to overhaul those suggestions that were put forward. So again, it's really getting everyone on the same page. And I think within the ANC, it's being a very broad church of thought. We are seeing different dynamics playing out. But in terms of where the Treasury stands, because they are essentially the ones that do set the inflation target for the Reserve Bank, we remain quite comfortable that South Africa will continue on this path of inflation targeting with financial stability in mind.
So that sounds all quite positive. As per usual, there's a lot of noise in the market, and not everything is to be adhered to or to be listened to too closely when you make investment decisions.
Yes, I would agree with that assumption. I think there is a lot of noise around issues like that. I mean, often, in times of very contentious issues, for example, land reform would be another one here. It's very clear what is outlined in the ANC resolution, but again, because the ANC is quite a broad church and does have a number of vocal members, we find that some of these members do say something that is out of line of the ANC resolutions and policies, and that does cause quite a stir in the market, given the negative implications it could have for growth.
Mm. Senisa, always a pleasure talking to you. Very interesting. Thank you very much for sharing those comments with our audience.
Thanks, Tony.